Have you ever gone to an antique shop or garage sale and found something really unique that you really had to buy, that you really had to take home with you? Did you ever ask about the object's origin, its history? Did you think to learn anything about its previous owners? What if you unknowingly took home an object that was cursed? On today's episode, I'll be discussing the dark stories of cursed objects. What exactly is a cursed object? We've all heard about the curse of the Hope Diamond, and we've all heard what happened to the people who excavated King Tut's tomb. But the question is, how does something become cursed? Cursed objects are inanimate items that bring misfortune, harm, or even death to its owners, or even death or harm to those with whom it comes in contact. An object can become cursed because someone with, we can say, powerful or even mystical knowledge hexes the item or curses the item. In ancient times, people feared curses or hexes that could be conjured up by black magic practitioners, if you will, evil practitioners, or even by witchcraft, of course. They all believed that an evil magician could use certain objects to curse them or even capture their souls. Historically, crop failures and illnesses, they were often blamed on curses or on sorcerers or, of course, witchcraft. From the European Dark Ages to colonial America, thousands of innocent people were falsely accused of putting hexes or curses on their neighbors. These people were tortured, they were burned, they were hanged, left to die in prison, etc. Are curses even real? A majority of people think that curses and hexes are just nonsensical. Some psychologists theorize that when people believe in the negative powers of a curse, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. According to magical tradition, one of the easiest ways for an evil practitioner to curse someone is to curse an object that represents the person. This is the whole concept behind voodoo dolls and other cursed puppets. Whatever affliction the practitioner puts on the doll, the real person is supposed to be feeling. If someone wanted to punish their enemies, they would send them a cursed object. Any inanimate object can be cursed, even food. The belief is that once a cursed object enters the home, its negative energy will bring the enemies to their knees. Like most legends, there is likely a grain of truth to cursed objects. Anyone who believes in blessings must also believe on at least the opposite side of the coin, right? Curses. While you may not feel an evil practitioner sticking pins into a doll that resembles you, there may be some psychic consequences for bringing a hexed object into your house. Although the object may have been cursed years ago to affect someone else, you can still reap its negative fallout. In this sense, objects can definitely be cursed. So how does an object get a curse? There are a few ways, or at least a few that I know of, or I've heard of. I've never done this myself, obviously. And the first is by performing dark spells. By using any number of dark spells, someone can pronounce a curse over anything. Not only will that curse affect the person from whom the curse is named, but all subsequent owners of the object. Objects can absorb a curse if they are related to violence in some way. Any object that was used in acts of violence can retain the negative energy forever. So just referencing something very violent here, like a murder, not only can the weapon harbor the spirit of the murderer, but also the victim who wants vengeance as well, right, who was attacked. How do you know if there's a cursed object in your home? Just because something is an antique, of course, it doesn't mean that it automatically has a curse on it. I always think there's a, you know, you should cleanse something as soon as you bring it home, especially if it's an antique or coming from a garage sale. However, if you do notice some of these signs that I'm about to cover or symptoms in your home, you actually might have a cursed object there. If you notice chronic sicknesses that doctors can't explain, just a general feeling of dis-ease in your home. If you have a lot of nightmares and, you know, I would say recurrent nightmares all of a sudden, or even cold or warm spots in certain areas of your home. And of course, these are things that you would notice that are relatively new, that coincide with bringing this new object into your house. So what should you do if you have some sort of cursed object? Let's say you went to an antique store and you found a beautiful mirror and you placed it in your room or what have you, and then all of a sudden all of these strange incidents start to occur. Well, first and foremost, it's recommended that you should burn the object, and that's if it can be burned, right? There are many auction sites that are filled with items claiming to be haunted or cursed, and most of the time it's just pure garbage. However, it is better to be safe than sorry. Never buy or accept anything that is said to be cursed, and definitely don't put anything in your home. So speaking of cursed objects, I'm going to tell you a series of stories about some of the most cursed objects that I was able to find online. I'm sure there are many stories that I'm missing, but for the sake of time, I'm going to cover just a few. Some you may be familiar with, some you may never have even heard of. The first story I'm going to share with you is about a painting that is said to cause house fires, but the painting never actually burns itself. This is the story of the Crying Boy painting. In the middle of the night, in England in the 1980s, a home in South Yorkshire succumbed to a fire. The lounge room was charred black, the drapes and furniture, they were reduced to ash. The owners of the home, who were Ron and May Hall, lost nearly everything to the fire, except one item, a painting of a crying boy. It wasn't even blackened by the smoke. This wasn't the first time a picture of a crying boy had been found amid the ashes of a torched home. On September 4th, 1985, the British tabloid called The Sun published a story about a very unlucky painting that caused fires. These paintings, they'd been turning up mysteriously untouched in fires across the UK, all of which started spontaneously. Now, the couple who owned the painting had apparently been warned in advance about this strange curse, but they laughed it off and kept the painting. I mean, who really believed in curses anyway? In fact, the paintings of crying kids, they were hung in living rooms of multiple households across the UK. The paintings were readily available in stores during the 1950s through the 1980s, and according to a couple of sources, they tended to appeal to young couples. And the one thing I should state here, because you can look this up online, these paintings are really creepy. I don't know who would ever want these in their homes. Just looking at some of the faces made me very uncomfortable online. Again, I don't know where you would even put this in your home except for the trash. But apparently, again, they were hung in the living rooms of multiple households. A woman by the name of Jane McCutcheon, who had hung the painting in her living room in the 1980s, reported that she was cleaning her kitchen when all of a sudden her drapes, blinds, and curtains were suddenly on fire. Her family escaped alive, but her home had been destroyed, except for a single painting hung in her living room of the crying boy. According to McCutcheon, she says, you could still see the little boy's face on the painting. Later, she overheard a firefighter who saw the painting say, and I put quotes around this, "Oh no, not another." After what was described as a series of coincidences and bad luck, McCutcheon speculated that the painting was the cause, prompting her to get rid of it. Given the increased number of fires and crying boy paintings found untouched in all of these fires across the UK, the tabloid requested that the public send their crying boy paintings to them to be destroyed. According to The Sun's editor, the office got swamped in all of these pictures, but the editor refused to display any of the paintings in the office himself. He thought it would jinx him and the office and set it on fire. A week after its first article on the curse, The Sun published, "Crying Boy Curse Strikes Again," though the painting under the headline was a completely different painting of a crying boy. The story, though, was the same. An ordinary fire turned creepy when an unscathed crying boy painting was found hanging in the house, just untouched. The public really responded to what was happening, and they did apparently destroy all of these paintings. Thus, the fires did not continue thereafter. Very, very creepy, strange story. Have no interest in ever acquiring any of those strange paintings. Next story. Next cursed object. I think everyone listening to this episode has either seen or even heard of the movie Annabelle, about a cursed doll or an evil doll. To be honest, I never watched it. I don't like that stuff. I did watch Child's Play as a kid, and I hated it, and it creeped me out, and I had horrible nightmares. I do not like talking dolls in any kind of way. And I don't even know why I'm covering this today. I was really hesitant to do research on a lot of cursed dolls, but apparently this is quite a normal phenomena. So today I'm going to talk to you about Robert the Evil Doll. Robert Eugene Odo, or Gene, as his family called him, was just a young boy in the early 1900s when his family's maid, probably very important detail, his family's maid gave him a strange straw-filled doll to play with. Gene loved his life-size doll, and he brought it along everywhere, even naming it Robert after himself. It wasn't long, however, before people began noticing signs of Robert the doll's evil and mischievous nature. According to rumor, the Ottos and their servants would often hear Gene in his bedroom having conversations with himself in two entirely different voices. Additionally, the Ottos, they would wake up in the middle of the night to Gene's screaming, only to find the frightened boy in bed, surrounded by overturned furniture. Gene, of course, would go on to blame Robert the doll for messing up the bedroom, while Robert would glare at Gene from the foot of the bed. Soon after, mutilated toys and mysterious happenings would appear in the home, only to have Gene say that Robert did it. The Ottos didn't believe Gene, of course, right? However, it was reported that they could hear the eerie sound of Robert giggling around the house, and some even claimed to see a small doll moving from window to window. Robert was eventually moved to the attic, where he remained for a number of years. Gene inherited his family's Key West mansion after his parents died, at which time Robert the doll returned to his old bedroom, which was Gene's room on the second floor. By then, Gene had been working as an artist, and supposedly Gene would spend his days alone in his mansion painting with his old friend Robert. Gene eventually married, and there are many stories about his wife's dislike for Robert. And there were also some conflicting rumors that began to surface, some alleging that Gene's wife died from insanity after locking Robert in the attic, while others reported that Gene died with Robert by his side. Today, Gene's residence operates as a bed and breakfast called the Artist House, and visitors can even stay in the old bedroom. Robert the doll now lives at the Fort East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida. You can visit Robert if you want. However, it is said that Robert likes to cast curses on those who take his photo without asking permission. Currently, the walls near his glass case, they're covered in numerous letters from previous visitors begging for Robert's forgiveness and asking him to remove any curse that he has cast. Super creepy, and you guys can look up Robert the doll, and I'll put a link in the show notes so you can see what this fun little character looks like. And of course, if you're so inclined, you can meet Robert in person, taking into consideration not taking any photos without his permission. Okay, so the next story is about a limestone statue which was found in Cyprus in 1878. This statue, now called the Woman of Lem, or known by her other name, the Goddess of Death, was first believed to represent some sort of Cypriot fertility goddess. However, the statue's reputation began to take a significantly darker turn after it was acquired by its first owner, whose name is Lord L. Font. Now, L. Font, along with six other members of his family, reportedly died within 6 years of obtaining the statue. The statue traveled across Europe after being purchased by a man named Ivor Manucci, whose family unfortunately fared even worse than L. Font's. All of them were dead within 4 years of owning the goddess statue. A similar fate befell the statue's third owner, whose name is Lord Thompson Noel. Well, Lord Noel and his entire immediate family died just within a few years of owning the statue. The last known private buyer was said to be Sir Alan Beaverbrook, who died along with his wife and two daughters over an even shorter span of time, leaving only his two sons in possession of the statue. Fearing the curse of the goddess would eventually strike them next, they donated the Woman of Lem statue to the Royal Museum in Edinburgh, Scotland. But even then, the curse didn't stop there. When the museum finally put the statue on display, its curator died mysteriously within a year of handling it. The Goddess of Death, as she is now called, remains in the museum today, but it is encased within a heavy glass display case. It is important to note that the curse only affected those who actually touched the stone, so if you're ever in Scotland and you want to see this face, have at it. No worries about the curse inflicting you in any kind of way. And again, and I'll link a picture of the statue. It's nothing to write home about. It's just very strange how some of these objects are very linked to a series of concurrent deaths. The last story I'm going to share with you today is about a vase that is considered one of the most cursed objects in the entire world. So another cursed object that cannot be touched is the Bassano vase that was made in the 15th century by an Italian maiden on her wedding night as a gift for her groom. Locals say that she was found murdered with the vase in her hand that very night. The vase was then passed on from family to family, each claiming unfortunate deaths of loved ones. In 1988, it was offered to multiple museums, but all of them refused to take it because of the curse. Where exactly is it now? We don't know. Some people say that it's buried in a lead coffin at some sort of inaccessible place. People just really don't know where it is, but it should probably stay hidden given this really crazy story I'm about to share. The Bassano vase is a very strange tale. Surrounded in death, the vase was considered cursed by those who possessed it. No one really understands how or why it became so powerful or even where the curse originated from. Also, unlike other haunted or cursed objects, the Bassano vase, I mean, again, we don't know where it is, so it's not like it's available for scrutiny. There are no direct eyewitness accounts of this problematic vase, only stories of its deadly power. From what is commonly known, the vase was a simple silver design weighing approximately 4 pounds, and it was crafted sometime during the 15th century as a wedding gift. It is listed on multiple websites as one of the most haunted objects known to mankind. The earliest account of this vase dates back to the 15th century in a small town, and I'm probably going to butcher this, so forgive me, but it's a small town north of Napoli, that's what I'm going to call it, in Italy. The legend says that the vase was given to a young bride on the night before her wedding, perhaps as a gift of good fortune, or perhaps something more sinister. Unfortunately, the young woman never made it to her own wedding. She was discovered dead the next morning. Some say it was murder, while others really have no other explanation. Soon after the young woman was interred, The vase was given to another family member who sadly also died shortly after receiving it. It was once again passed to another family member with the same unfortunate ending. Another quick death almost immediately after taking possession of it. The family soon came to the understanding that the vase was cursed and somehow it was connected to death, so they had it hidden away. There are several stories about how it was hidden. Some say it was buried, while others speak of it being hidden by a priest, presumably in some sort of church. Both versions could be true, however, what's interesting here is that there seems to be a pause in the story of the vase for hundreds of years. The Bassano vase remained hidden until it resurfaced in 1988, bringing more hardship and death along with it. An unsuspecting young man had dug it up somewhere. Again, we don't know the specific details on the locations or even the names, but some say that he dug it up in his yard. It's also been said that the Bassano vase was buried with a note that specifically stated, "Beware, this vase brings death." And apparently this warning had little effect on the young man who found it. The vase was quickly auctioned off for quite a bit of money to a pharmacist. We don't know the name of the auction house, the buyer, or even the man who made the discovery. However, what we do know is that the poor pharmacist died after 3 months of owning the vase, and then his family sold the vase to a doctor who himself died at the age of 37, only a few short months later. It was sold once again to an archaeologist. Within 3 months, the archaeologist also died with his cause unknown. The stories continued. They just continued on and on with one last sale. We don't have a lot of information about the last owner except for the fact that he died less than a month after taking possession of the vase. Now, these deaths didn't go unnoticed, and the Bassano vase became unsellable. A family member of the last victim was said to have tossed it out a window in an attempt to, you know, potentially break free from the curse. Although the family was spared further tragedy, the story doesn't end there. The vase nearly struck a police officer, and this police officer intended to find the person who threw it at him. It was said that the family accepted they were going to pay the fine, and apparently the fine was for quote-unquote littering. However, they refused to take the vase back. The police officer attempted to place the vase in a museum, but you see, word had already circulated about the vase being cursed, so no institution would even consider taking it. The Bassano vase was said to be once again reburied in some sort of undisclosed location. Some say it's in a lead box. Some say it's in the holy ground of a cemetery. I mean, who really knows? So, can objects really be cursed? Or is all of this just a coincidence, especially related to the Bassano vase? The number of deaths connected to the vase is too many to be coincidental. It's obvious that the vase has a negative imprint on it, one that is strong enough to last for several decades. We know that many antiques carry powerful energy. Some, due to an event in their past, perhaps which infused them with something terrible, or even some may have been weaponized through a curse or a hex. We just don't know exactly what type of either curse or hex was connected to the Bassano vase. And since it's currently missing, we may never know. There are so many objects that are said to be cursed. Like I said, there are so many cursed dolls, vases, a number of cursed statues that I didn't cover. And we're not limited to objects as well. There are, of course, homes. Like, I'm just thinking of the Amityville Horror, other very haunted, scary, cursed places that I have no interest in going to ever in this world. You guys, I really hope that you enjoy this episode. If you have any interest in learning more about some of these objects, I'll put links below
in the description box and try to link some of the photos as well so you can have a gander. Thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to talking to you guys again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.